Call the next case.
Walmart Store Keith et al. Versus State Corporation Commission et al. Terry Brennan, Appellant Counsel. John F. Dudley, Noel Jacobs. Robert W. Lawson, Appellant Counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Carrie Grunman with the law firm of Spillman, Thomas & Battle, here today on behalf of the appellants, Walmart Stores East LP and Sam's East Inc., who I will collectively refer to today as Walmart. May I please reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal? Fundamentally, Your Honors, this case is about a customer pursuing its legislative right to seek its electric supply from the competitive market rather than from the incumbent electric utility.
How do you have a right for something that the SEC only has a may command to even consider?
Your Honor, I would answer that question in two parts. First, 56577A4 was passed as part of the 2007 Virginia Electric Utility Regulation Act, which I will refer to in short as the Re-Regulation Act. And the purpose of that act was, after an approximately 8 or 9 year period at attempting a fully deregulated market, the General Assembly decided to re-regulate Appalachian Power Company and Virginia Electric and Power Company. And at the very moment that the General Assembly made that decision to re-regulate, it simultaneously passed three statutory provisions that do not have the intent or purpose to re-regulate, but to allow customers to retain rights to access the competitive market.
It would have made perfect sense under that thesis to say you have a presumptive right if you meet these various criteria, but they didn't say you have a presumptive right. They say SEC may or may not, and then gives probably the most generic factors you could possibly imagine as to how they use their discretionary may power.
Your Honor, I believe that the may here has to be viewed in context. If you actually read the language of 56577A4, it doesn't restrict the parties who may pursue aggregated retail choice other than based upon their initial size. They must not be at least as big as a 5-megawatt customer under A3, but they must be at least 1 megawatt or greater. But it doesn't say that they need to be under common ownership.
It doesn't say that they can't pursue it. The question is, does it say that they have to do it?
Your Honor, I think that ultimately the Commission's decision here has to be based upon the purpose for which the statute was passed, which was retaining customer choice. And if the General Assembly didn't intend for there to be customers to pursue retail choice under A4, then when it was re-regulating the electric industry, it would simply have eliminated retail choice for the customers under A4.
But is it really that Hobson's choice? Could it have been the legislative intent was to say, you know, we're not sure, we'll leave it up to the SEC. It's you know, market conditions change, load requirements change, lots of things can change. So we want the option on the table, but we're going to give probably one of the most generically written delegations of power possible.
Your Honor, I somewhat would disagree with your characterization that the discretion granted to the Commission here was to consider all the totality of issues that may face a utility or its customers. If you look at the language of 56577A4, there have been what we have referred to as two public interest prongs. Under the first prong, what the Commission is directed to consider is whether the incumbent electric utility or its customers are adversely affected in a manner contrary to the public interest by granting such petition. It then goes on to say that in making that determination, the Commission may consider or shall take into consideration without limitation previously approved petitions of like type. What that limits the Commission's consideration to are the effects associated with granting Walmart's petitions, and specifically directs the Commission to consider the order in which Walmart's petition is filed under A4, but doesn't limit what other effects Walmart's petitions may have on remaining customers or the utility. Turning second to the secondary public interest provision, it too is phrased in the language of the effect of Walmart's petitions. So while we would concede that the Commission can broadly view those impacts, It must do so from the view of the petitioner.
Doesn't the second factor wholly subsume in its linguistic range 100% of the first factor?
No, Your Honor, I don't think it is. I think the first factor is a very specific consideration of a very specific subset of customers. So, for example, if you look at it, and I apologize, not just customers, but also the utility. But for purposes of this proceeding, the Commission's underlying decision was based upon the impact on customers, so I will often refer to that.
That's not a subset conceptually of the public interest generally?
Well, Your Honor, I think it's important that the second provision says it doesn't require the Commission to find, as it traditionally does when regulating utilities, that something is in the public interest. It must merely find that something is consistent with it. And if you look at the Commission's underlying order as it relates to that secondary prong as to whether something was consistent with the public interest, the Commission's final order said that we do not...
So it's possible to have an SCC order that says, I think this is consistent with the public interest, but I'm not willing to hold that it's in the public interest.
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that you can. Because I think that if you look throughout the code provision that governs, if you look throughout Title 56, the phraseology used in 56577 is used nowhere else. And if you look at many of the prior case law cited by the Commission in its brief and many of the other appellees, they often talk about the decisions that were previously made by the Commission as to whether something was in the public interest.
Well, educate me, because I'm not as sophisticated in this as you guys are, but give me an example of something that would be consistent with the public interest, but not in the public interest.
Your Honor, the example that I would give here is consistent with the evidence that was presented in the underlying proceedings by Walmart, and which has not been disputed for purposes of this by the Commission in its final order. Walmart presented evidence of two primary things. Number one, that savings generated from energy savings are retained at the local level of its facilities, and that while it could not guarantee what those savings would be at this time, that those savings are able to be used by local facilities to either hire more workers, improve the store, contribute to the community. So those are all benefits that are consistent with economic development benefits that this Commonwealth has said
are not in the public interest.
I think they can be in the public interest, but I don't think it's necessary that they be found to be in the public interest for that to be true.
Again, just educate me. Tell me an example, because I'm just having a hard time conceptualizing it. Something that's consistent with the public interest, but it's not in the public interest.
I don't know that, Your Honor, that we need to know whether something is in the public interest to know whether it satisfies A4.
Well, you say that they're different, so I'm trying to find out how.
Well, Your Honor, I think that often, in as we view this particular dichotomy, in the public interest is a higher standard. It is a burden of proof that must be shown before something can be approved, and you often see it in the context of whether a regulated utility can take a given action or not. Here, we think that that burden of proof, the certainty with which the benefit exists, is not as high a standard. There is a difference between consistent with and in that matters, because the General Assembly has proven itself well capable of using the phraseology in the public interest throughout Title 56 when it finds it appropriate. But really here, if we look at where the error is, it's that the Commission's analysis of Walmart's petitions stops once it found harm. And that's not what Section A4 obligated the Commission to do. Any customer choice provision inherently involves some level of what I will say is a quotational harm. There will always be a shifting of costs. Because what happens when you allow retail choice is you are allowing some customers to leave the utility system. And that automatically means that remaining customers will have to pay the costs of the system. And so in this case, the Commission denied Walmart's petitions based upon an outcome that is inevitable. And that is contrary to A4. And what it ultimately means, and what has proven true in the only other decision issued after Walmart's, is that that allocation of costs will be a basis for denying every petition under 8.4.
Help me with your statement that they stopped after they found harm. I'm looking at what I think is maybe 999 of the record. Next, having found that the remaining customers would be adversely affected in this manner, I'm assuming that's the harm.
Yes, ma'am.
The commission must decide if such is contrary to the public interest. So they found the harm, and then they said, now we have to decide if it's contrary to the public interest. So is that correct that they stopped once they found harm?
Yes, they did, Your Honor. And the reason that that's true is because if you look at the phraseology of adversely affected in a manner contrary to the public interest, that requires them to evaluate, is the harm that flows from Walmart's petitions the level of harm that the General Assembly assumed would occur as the result of customer choice? Is it more than? Is it less than? Because we have to remember that the General Assembly chose to include A4 when it was re-regulating, and it didn't do that. More than that, from a factual standpoint, Your Honor, we don't believe that the factual evidence supports the Commission's conclusion that customers would be harmed. If one reads the record, there is evidence that customers could be harmed. We don't deny that. At the same time, there was evidence that customers could be benefited in a number of ways. Those aren't addressed. If you review the two or three pages preceding 999 in the joint appendix, you will see a listing of the evidence put on in the record as to the various potential harms that could flow. What you don't see is the commission then saying, and in evaluating those potential harms against these potential benefits, we ultimately believe that it's more likely that the potential harms will occur. But even if I'm wrong about that, and even if there could be some basis upon which to conclude that the Commission's factual findings could be upheld, it doesn't matter. Because what the Commission never does is weigh those harms. And we can tell that the Commission was supposed to weigh those harms because of the second sentence in the first prong, which is that the Commission, in making the determination, and it's not a determination of the public interest, but it's a determination as to whether customers would be adversely affected in a manner contrary to the public interest, that they were supposed to take into account previously approved petitions of like type. And here, that factor weighs distinctly in Walmart's favor.
So under your reading of the statute, the SEC can't make cost-benefit analysis and say, you know what, the data is inconclusive, the projections are worrisome. We have a may command. A may is not a command. We're just going to sit on these problems until we see better data later. They can't do that.
Well, Your Honor, I guess I think they probably could have done that, but they didn't do that here. Instead, based upon speculative data that could not be known at the time of Walmart's petition, it denied Walmart's petition based upon a would-occur harm. So had they said, we're going to take this matter under advisement, we need further proceedings, that would be a totally different procedural posture before this court, which isn't what exists. But there's also case law, and I know that the Commission takes issue with it, but this absurdity principle. And the way that I view the absurdity principle is that a statute's provisions shouldn't defeat itself. The may here and the discretion granted to the Commission is a recognition that the largest percentage of customers of both Dominion and APCO could qualify to shop under A4. And rather than arbitrarily setting some percentage or some limit or some number of customers that could qualify, the General Assembly left that decision about how much shopping there should be to the Commission. But what wasn't left to the Commission was the decision as to whether or not shopping should exist. And if you really look through the brief in the final order, at 1003 of the Joint Appendix, they say, we don't find it consistent with the public interest for captive customers who do not have the legal ability to obtain lower rates, predominantly residential and small business, to suffer from the cost shifting identified herein. Respectfully put, that wasn't before the Commission. The General Assembly decided what categories of utility customers could pursue retail choice. And in the General Assembly's decision, residential and small business customers only had very limited rights to pursue retail choice. And it's not the Commission's job to decide whether that statute is wise or unwise or proper. It's their job to enforce it as it exists. And here, they appear to take issue with the fact that it leaves certain classes of customers without any choice. Well, not only is it outside of their jurisdiction, but it's incorrect. At the time of the evidentiary proceedings, in this case, all customers, all residential, all small business customers, had the right to shop in the Commonwealth of Virginia under 56577A5. So it's not true that there were any captive customers. At the same time, there was no evidence in the record as to the rates customers would pay. Now, I concede that A5 allows customers to shop for 100% renewable energy, which is not just the typical I can go out and select whatever I want from the marketplace. But there was no basis for the Commission to conclude that those customers couldn't obtain lower rates. So that the harm that the Commission has identified as the grounds for denying Walmart's petition isn't supported by the record. And even if there were evidence to support the harm, they never balance it out against the General Assembly's ultimate statement that we still choose to retain competitive choice in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Counsel, you're into your rebuttal time. You may use your time as you wish. I'm just letting you know that the time you wanted to have left is now been reached.
Thank you, Your Honor. At this point, what we would request is that you reverse the decision of the Commission and allow Walmart to shop in both the APCO and Virginia Electric and Power Company service territories.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dudley. I understand you're going to take 10 minutes, and then each of the utilities will take 5 minutes apiece.
Excuse me, Your Honor. Yes, that's okay. How we reserve the time.
Okay.
May it please the Court, my name is John Dudley. I'm with the State Corporation Commission. The Commission did what the statute directs it to do. The Commission exercised discretion, delegated to it by the General Assembly, and made specific public interest findings. And the Commission's discretion in this case is limited. It's limited in the way that it's always limited when the General Assembly delegates specific public interest findings to the Commission. And that is, does the Commission's decision have a rational basis that's supported in the record? And we obviously believe that it does.
So, Counsel, the term public interest is used twice.
Yes.
Presuming that the General Assembly did not intend to just simply say the exact same thing twice, how do those two terms differ in the context of the statute?
The first prong refers to manner adversely affected in a manner contrary to the public interest. Then the second prong just is a consistent with the public interest. And so it starts with there to approve their conjunctive. The Commission has to make both public interest findings in the positive in order to even get to the main discretion to where it'll still approve. So the Commission addressed them separately in the final order. On pages, Joint Appendix pages 998, 999, and it actually said on Joint Appendix page, starting at page 215, when it set the procedures for this case, that one of the things it was going to do was identify those adverse effects first, figure out what they were. That's why the Commission decided it needed an evidentiary hearing, and then the Commission was going to decide whether those adverse effects were contrary to the public interest, little a, the first prong. And so, if you look at Joint Appendix in the final order, 998, 999, the Commission goes through the testimony of the expert witnesses who testified to this is the reasonable likelihood of these type of adverse effects, this harm, specific amounts of cost shifting, how that cost shifting would be manifested in rates, base rates higher than they would be, rate adjustment clauses, refunds lower than they otherwise would be. And I'm going to get to the second prong, because what we mentioned, There's also testimony at page 774 that that's always how the commission looks at potential rate impacts. And so there was nothing untoward or unreasonable or uncommon about looking at expert witness testimony about how something could impact rates in the future. The commission relied upon that expert testimony and said for the first prong, that's the adverse effect. And on Joint Appendix 999 expressly said, now we have to decide if that's contrary to the public interest, and based upon those dollar amounts, those millions of dollars amounts for each utility, and the potential rate impact, we find that is contrary to the public interest. Then Walmart was discussing Joint Appendix page 1003. The 1003 paragraph that they were referencing specifically addresses the second, sort of the consistent with the public interest prong B. And it said, yeah, we looked at these harms, and we also looked at the decade of rising rates, which Walmart hasn't contested the accuracy of that finding. And when we put those two together, we'll make the second. We wouldn't even have to do that. We could have stopped after the first part A because they're conjunctive. But we'll go to part B. We find that's not consistent with the public interest. And when she mentioned, Walmart mentioned the captive, if I can respond just to the captive customer, that wasn't a factual finding. And we discussed this in our brief. The commission didn't find that all residential small captive customers couldn't factually get a lower rate. It was referencing back to a sentence. Walmart cited both sentences in their opening brief. Earlier sentence in the commission's order where the commission said, okay, we have two other statutes, A3 and A5. And under A3, only large customers can go to the market for solely lower rates. These other customers can go to the market to buy renewables. They may or may not be able to get it at lower rates, but only residential and small captive customers don't have the ability to go to the market for solely lower rates, and that's what was referenced in that final paragraph on 1003. It wasn't a factual finding. It was referencing the dichotomy between A3 and A5. So the commission did address the two public interest prongs separately.
Okay. Let me restate the first part, the A part that you were referring to, and tell me if I have restated it correctly. That A, when it says neither the utility nor the utility's remaining customers would be adversely affected contrary to the public interest. As your opposing counsel points out, any time there is a petition of this nature, there will be some adverse effect. If their rates go down by $100, or if their total costs go down by $100, somebody else is going to pay $100 more. And so consequently, I would call that a de minimis adverse effect. It is the contrary to the public interest, essentially the fulcrum by which you balance, is it de minimis or is it significant?
I think the General Assembly has handed that decision to the Commission. For the Commission to decide, because how would the Commission ever know how much is too much? Talk about, you know, no limiting principle. How would we ever know, is it 1 megawatt and 1 million? Is it 100 megawatts and 100 million? To where we could legally find, as a matter of law, that is contrary to the public interest.
How would we ever know?
That's why I keep going back to the standard of review. If a rational fact finder can find that these $4 million and $65 million is sufficient of transferring costs and increase in rates, that's the rational basis in the.
But if I take that to its logical conclusion, then as your opposing counsel points out, a petitioner could never prevail. There will always be an adverse impact, and how would, I mean, again, the term isn't defined.
I would argue that's incorrect. That a petitioner could prevail. That you could have a petitioner has prevailed. It's cited in the final order in 2018, a year ago this month, 2 years ago this month, the commission approved an aggregation petition. The commission, it was much smaller. It was like 10 megawatts versus 70 megawatts in Walmart's case now. But the commission weighed the evidence. There was And the commission explicitly said it weighed Walmart's evidence. In the order on Joint Appendix 999, it explicitly said we weighed their evidence. The commission weighed the evidence in the case 2 years ago. There were other, the commission found mitigating factors against the cost shifting, and the commission found that that outweighed the cost shifting, and the commission found that the adverse effect was not contrary to the public interest and approved that aggregation petition. That's why I keep going back to it is the standard of review. If there's a record that supports, and the General Assembly has allowed the commission to decide how much is too much, and starting, and the commission set out the case that way, Joint Appendix page 215. So we've got to decide how much is too much.
The General Assembly has delegated. Take into account rising rate trajectories or flat rate trajectories statewide or declining rate trajectories? I mean, would that global regulatory market issue be part of the factor?
It could be, and that's why this statute was passed in 2007 and we got the first case 10 years later. That's why the commission has the obligation to look at each, we said this as well, and they were the circumstances at the time each petition comes in. It was 10 years before we got one. The circumstances in 2007 would have been different.
So in theory, cost shifting could be moved, of course, to everyone else if one of these petitions were granted, but it could be moved to everyone else in a regulatory environment, in a rate environment, where the rates are stagnant or falling, in theory.
Correct. And the General Assembly has delegated that decision to the commission. The commission to decide if a specific amount of cost shifting in a case is too much, so that it's contrary to public interest. And as we also pointed, the General Assembly hasn't hesitated in the past. If they disagree with how we exercise it, I can't think of a statute where we've been given more broad discretion. We have two public interest findings and a May.
You've been given broad discretion. There is one. There seems to be one consideration that you have to consider, and that's the impact and effect of any and all previously approved conditions. Where is that considered in this, or is it considered?
Yes, it's we cited in our brief, Your Honor, the commission, and that's the Reynolds case that I was just talking about, the one that we approved, and it's in the final order on page 1003 of the appendix.
Thank you.
Footnote 33.
Thank you.
And that's the one that was approved.
Your time has expired.
May it please the court. Good morning. Robert Lofton from McGuire Woods on behalf of Dominion. We agree with the commission and with APCO that the judgment below should be affirmed. We believe the commission properly followed its statutory mandate under A4 and exercised its discretion to deny the petition before it from Walmart for both Dominion and with APCO. I'm going to talk specifically about Dominion briefly. I think it's, with the questions the court has raised, I think if you look at the final order that's at appendix, specifically pages 998 through 1003, the commission walked through, contrary to Walmart's assertion, it walked through every aspect of A4. It looked at the potential, and it, Justice Kelsey, to your point, the commission looked at the entirety of the regulatory landscape in Virginia. It looked at the regulatory demands that Dominion faces and that APCO faces, and the effects that, that those are having on consumers in Virginia.
So the theoretical basis could be a de minimis number today in a certain rate environment could not be de minimis 10 years from now in a very different rate environment.
Correct. And I think that's why the General Assembly in A4, and it only did this in A4, it didn't do it in A3 and it didn't do it in A5, but in A4 it gave this discretion to the Commission. And to the very first point you made in your question to the counsel for Walmart, it's very broad discretion. And this court has consistently been clear since the creation of the commission in 1902 that when the General Assembly has delegated that type of discretion to the commission, this court doesn't second-guess it. And here, the commission has detailed its evidentiary findings in its final order. It walked through the effects that aggregation would have on consumers in both Dominion's territory and APCO's territory. It looked at the trend of rates over the last 12 years since the enactment of the Restructuring Act in 2007. And it also looked, with the Grid Transformation Act, it looked forward to how costs may be trending. And so in light of all of that, and especially as Mr. Dudley mentioned, in light of the fact that they had already approved Reynolds' aggregation petition 2 years ago, the Commission said, given all of the circumstances, Walmart's petition is not in the public interest at all. And I think that the record here is very clear. I mean, Walmart keeps coming back to, you know, its assertion, and the Commission talked about this. If you look at appendix page 1002, the Commission, I'll just read it, thus in support of its request for aggregated retail choice at this time, Walmart states that its budgetary needs and costs are not aligned with the regulatory cadence of Appalachian Power and Dominion's retail rates. You know, Walmart's assertion of the public interest is its bottom line. And that's not what the Commission did here. The Commission looked at the entire landscape of how this specific aggregation petition would affect Virginia consumers. The last thing I want to address is the assignments of error that deal with the motion for reconsideration. I think the Commission properly exercised its discretion. I'm not aware of any rule of the Commission or rule of this court. As a lawyer, I'll confess it would be kind of nice to sort of eviscerate the concept of finality, and after I've received a jury verdict, to say, oh, I'd like to change my request, and could you please give me an advisory opinion? And I think the Commission properly exercised its discretion. It looked at the motion for reconsideration. It allowed all the parties to brief it, and it properly denied it. So for those reasons, we'd ask for the judgment below to be affirmed.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Noelle Coates. I'm here on behalf of Appalachian Power Company. Like Dominion, we concur with Dominion and we concur with the Commission's findings and its orders in this proceeding, so I will be brief. I would like just to touch on the issue of evidence, as counsel for Walmart brought up, that the burden of proof was on Walmart as a petitioner, as was well established with the Commission precedent as well as court precedent, that the petitioner has to meet the burden of proof. This was pointed out in the Reynolds opinion as well as in the Commission's July 2018 order. Walmart criticized the evidence that the Commission relied upon in this order as being overly speculative, and which is the nature of evaluating the public interest is speculative. It is future-looking. The Commission had to look at how granting the petition would affect the customers and the utilities and the overall public interest in the future. In addition to that, the evidence that Walmart presented in an attempt to meet its burden, and Walmart had several attempts to do this. They filed three sets of pre-filed testimony. There was an evidentiary hearing. There were several rounds of pleadings. But all the evidence that Walmart presented was entirely unsubstantiated. They could not quantify the amount of energy savings that they expected to receive. They did not guarantee that any of those savings would be returned to Virginia in the form of wage increases, increased capital investment. They were very unclear and very vague. In fact, the only thing that Walmart was able to testify was that its interest was the public's interest. Its interest was to keep people shopping at its stores.
What's good for Walmart is good for America.
Well, except for perhaps our customers that don't shop at Walmart, which I'm certain there are some. In contrast, APCO presented a lot of evidence about how shopping has a negative impact on our service territory. As you are all most likely aware, Southwest Virginia has a lot of economic problems. Our average wage is $43,000 as opposed to $70,000 in Commonwealth. We have no load growth. We have high electricity usage. We are losing jobs. We are losing population. Because of shopping in our service territory, $7.7 million a year is spread to our remaining customers. That's on an annual basis. And our customers receive no corresponding benefit to those costs. If we increase costs as a utility, it's because we are increasing investment in transmission or reliability customer service and our customers benefit from that investment. Here, our customers are being asked to pay $7.7 million a year with no benefit. With Walmart, it would be $4 million. If Walmart were allowed to shop, it would be $4 million over a decade, again, with no corresponding benefit to customers who really don't have a lot of room in their income as well. With that, I ask that you affirm the Commission's orders, and I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Counsel.
Unless you have any questions for me. Thank you.
Rebuttal.
Your Honors, I'd like to address just a couple of points that were made by the various appellees. The first is that there is often much weight given by this Court to the Commission for its decisions. But that's often because they've had experience dating back to 1902. This is a case of first impression. The public interest findings are unlike the public interest findings that the Commission is ordinarily called upon to make. The Commission has no experience in assessing the sort of impacts from a non-regulated rate standpoint as it does here and as it relates to Walmart.
And we have less.
I apologize.
We have less. So you want the judiciary to take over the responsibility to weigh these incredibly abstract concepts in an industry and in an economic subset of our Commonwealth that the Constitution gives them the power to make those judgments. Why should we?
Your Honor, because your own jurisprudence says that the Commission has to exercise sound discretion, and it hasn't done that here. Turning next to a couple of points that were made, there's been a couple of comments here as to the de minimis impact and whether it could be de minimis now or de minimis later. The staff reports that were filed in these cases for both APCO and Dominion found that the impact of Walmart's petitions in the APCO territory and the Dominion territory were de minimis. So.
Okay, so that then meets prong A.
If
in fact we use the kind of the analytical framework that I was asking about.
That's correct.
So then they have to go to B, and Mr. Dudley indicated, well, here's the place in the record where we believe we went to B.
That's correct, Your Honor. So if we just go to what they said it was, where they went to prong B is saying that captive customers, primarily small business and residential customers, don't have a choice to obtain lower rates. That is untrue. The record doesn't support that conclusion. But if we agree that Walmart established and proved that the cost impact of its petition was de minimis, it makes no sense that the Commission can then rely upon that impact to say that it's not consistent with the public interest. And then factor in that the order itself says the Commission does not question Walmart's veracity as to its business and economic goals, and I've not quoted it precisely, but what they ultimately said is that the other evidence in the record, which related to economic development and also to growth in renewable energy investment in Virginia would be benefited by granting Walmart's petitions, was evidence that supported the finding that Walmart's petitions were consistent with the public interest. One additional point. Ms. Coates said that there was evidence that granting Walmart's petitions would shift $4 million of costs onto customers. Also not true. That calculation was in a vacuum based upon rates that were in effect in, I believe, 2014. We cannot know what, if any, actual cost impact there would be on customers until a future proceeding. And only then.
So they should grant your petition and find out later they might have been completely wrong. It's even more than they guessed.
No, Your Honor, I think the $4 million is essentially the ceiling. But what they did in this case is they looked at rates and they said, here's what rates are when Walmart is a customer as of 2014. And then they recalculated and they said, here's what rates are if Walmart isn't a customer. But what they don't factor into that calculation is that determination would get made for APCO, for instance, this year. And when we would calculate that determination, it would have to include matters like the hundreds of millions of dollars of over-earning.
Fair enough. You've answered my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
The court is in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
All rise.